Early growth is something that every company needs, but how to do it? And what are the ways that aren't working really well that you want to make sure you avoid? I spoke with Taylor Ryan. He's the founder of Clint Marketing. He helps companies accelerate their growth through amazing marketing tactics. And he's one of the best. I mean, he's won awards. He lives in Europe, even though he's from the US. And people over there absolutely love him. You're going to want to listen to this because he shares some really cool nuggets on what you can do to accelerate your own marketing, get a lot of early traction to make sure that you can grow quickly. Enjoy.
Welcome to Sastery in the Making, the podcast that features the people who made the software world what it is today and the leaders who are shaping the future of technology. Here's your host, Matt Wallach.
That's right. I am Matt. Welcome, welcome. Super excited to have you here at Sastery in the Making, where we talk with some of the best creators and thinkers and innovators in the SaaS world. And today, I'm really delighted to be joined by my special guest, Taylor Ryan. Taylor, how you doing?
I'm not bad. Just, getting through another crazy busy day. But thanks for having me. This is really cool.
Absolutely. And Taylor is joining us live from Copenhagen, Denmark. Love that. Very cool. How did you find yourself out there?
Long story short, I was living and working in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area and had been there for most of my life. And yeah, I wanted something different. Most of the expats that I meet out here, it's usually one of two things. Most of the time it's met a girl, met a guy, you know, chased them overseas, and here I am. For me, it was just, yeah, I wanted to experience a different life. And I came out here for a very short weekend. And I was like, okay, I can do this. So 4 months later, a bunch of job applications. And yeah, I had two different offers and basically just leveraged the two to get a decent salary. And yeah, it's been 6 years ago. So so things are going, you know.
A short weekend turns into 6 years. That's very, very good story. I love it. But let me make sure I tell everybody about you, Taylor. So Taylor knows his stuff when it comes to growth and marketing. He is the founder and CEO at Clint Marketing, and that's an award-winning digital marketing services and strategy agency. And really, over the past 5 years, Taylor has built and run the digital marketing departments of some of Denmark's fastest growing startups. He also mentioned he works with a lot of US-based companies as well. And really interesting, recently, Taylor was a finalist for the Ecosystem Hero of the Year for Denmark at the Nordic Startup Awards. That sounds really, really cool. He's also a founder at Growth Secrets. Taylor runs workshops for some of Europe's most exclusive incubators and accelerators to help them grow to hundreds of, or help them grow. And he does this for hundreds of startups globally. So he absolutely knows how to help startups scale and grow. Once again, Taylor, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks. It's always a unique situation to hear somebody else directly talking about you in real time. It's that was surreal. I was like, oh yeah, I did do that. So thank you. That was really cool.
Absolutely. You deserve it. Sounds like some amazing stuff. And I want to dive into some of that. But first of all, just tell me what's going on lately for you and what's coming up.
Yeah, I've been getting into a lot of really unique spaces. So I'm working a lot more with fintech companies at the moment, specifically within SaaS. And, you know, I've worked within SaaS for pretty much the last like 10 years, but I'm constantly surprised in terms of how quickly growing or how fast that whole sector is in terms of like fintech and SaaS services. The amount of like investment that goes into these companies it's baffling. Like, no product, no MVP, nothing more than a pitch deck and a couple of ideas, 500,000, right out of the gates. Just, hey, we like your idea, go for it. Like, I've never seen that in other industries before. It's wild. So I'm working with a handful of interesting SaaS companies, and yeah, it's kind of what's taken up a lot of my extra time these days.
That's so cool. And you mentioned some of your journey earlier. What gave you the idea to start Growth Secrets and Clint Marketing? And what exactly do you do for SaaS companies?
Yeah, well, Growth Secrets was an interesting thing. So Growth Secrets started as in-person events. Like I miss the shit out of those things. Like, I really enjoyed getting
Likewise.
In front of an audience and jamming out. And, you know, this is cool. I'm not saying like, you know, the digital thing is bad, but holy smokes, it was so much fun to get in front of people. And in Denmark, they had this interesting thing where they were running lots of these events as They were nonprofits. And a new administration came into the government and said, if you are teaching anything and you're getting government money to do that, if it is not in Danish, you are no longer going to be funded. And so all these companies were like, yeah, screw that. So, you know, we're just going to stop teaching. And I'm like, hold on. You know, like there's a massive student, expat, and startup community here. And you basically just kind of threw everybody out in the cold. So I was like, fuck it, I'll do it for free. So I started going up to different co-working spaces. And that's how I got the Ecosystem Hero of the Year award was, yeah, I basically just begged co-working spaces, can I use your space? And most of them have big kind of event spaces. And they said, sure. And so, yeah, every month it was two different events, one morning, one afternoon, and it would be different concepts. So it could be corporate innovation, SEO, building marketing tech stacks, social media. And I would spend anywhere from 2 to 3 hours basically just showing here's how you do it. And that turned into having a 2-day course because somebody came and it's like, hey, can you teach that? And I was like, well, yeah, I'll take your money. So then I did a couple of 2-day courses. I recorded them, repurposed it. And now that was kind of the version one of Growth Secrets. And I'm relaunching the course material. I think it came out to like 8 hours. Now it's going to be 40 hours for the new iteration that's coming out real soon. So yeah, it's just, constantly building and making things work.
I love it. That's so cool. And one of the best things I love about that story is that you initially shared value, even for free. You just wanted to help. You wanted to make sure that people had a resource, an outlet to be able to get their understanding of how to grow. And this is something I teach my clients all the time is, hey, if you want to find yourself in a situation where you're desired and people know you and want you, share value, help people, and get them to a point where they can understand what to do. And then they're going to trust you so much and want much more from you. And that's exactly your path. It sounds like it's gone really well.
It has. But Matt, I have a question for you because I honestly go back and forth with different guys that are in that kind of mindset, in that zone. And I'm definitely one of them where I give and give and give and give. And doing these events, I realized like it was draining at some point. Is there a point where you have to cut it off and be like, hey, this is actually what I charge money for? And where does that point begin? You know, like where do you eventually say like, look, I've given so much value. I can't keep taking these kind of free sit downs with people for 15, 30, an hour. You know, what's your thought on that? When do you cut it?
Well, I totally think that there is a point because if we're looking purely at this, which is more of kind of the consulting guide play going from free at the beginning. And if you look at, if I ever try to figure out a situation, I try to look at the like crazy end case. And you have some speakers charging $50,000, $100,000, $500,000 to speak. Jesus. So if that's the case, then somewhere along the line, there's a point where you pivot from free value sharing to charging to do what you do. And there's a lot of people, speakers you've never heard of, I've never heard of, who charge $5,000-$10,000 every time they appear just because they're great speakers and they do some awesome stuff. So yes, at some point there is that transition that needs to be made. On the speaking side and guru side, I don't know what that is. But on the SaaS side, which is where most of our audience is anyway, absolutely. First of all, we talk about this in our group. Sharing value is one of the ways to build your audience and to build your own authority. And then you can convert them into subscribers, into paying subscribers. And that's how you kind of get that monetization to happen. What do you feel about that, Taylor?
Yeah. I mean, I always try to do like the first one's free kind of thing. And I'll usually limit it to 30 minutes max because, you know, there's only so many hours in a day. But when I'm working with accelerators, and in some cases, let's say it's an esports accelerator, like Hype Sports Innovation. And some of their cohorts still have 20 different startups. So it's like, all right, well, if I do half an hour each, that's 10 hours. You know, like I'm out. You know, and in many cases, they're not far enough along, or I can see from the outside, they're never going to be far enough along because it's like that idea is not there. And I've kind of thought, you know, what goes around comes around. I give way too much upfront, and to a fault. But I feel like if you don't do that, you lose the opportunity of potentially turning this person into a client or getting some type of future relationship or a recommendation. So yeah, I don't have a good answer for that either, to be totally honest. I feel like I do too much of the over-the-top giving up front without getting anything in return. And yeah, I'm always curious to see how other people have different methodologies for a cutoff point, but I'll let you know when I figure it out.
Awesome. Well, I think it's important too, because you can look at it as a marketing expense. So if you are preaching, if you maybe do a talk and you share some amazing experience or amazing technique for growth to a group of 20 startups and you're doing it to a group, well, chances are a lot of them are going to see that as valuable, see you as somebody who knows what they're talking about and want to learn more from you and potentially become a client. So if you look at it as a pure marketing expense, then maybe you can do it longer than having to get to a monetization period. But I think it's interesting for sure. And I don't know if everybody has completely figured that out, but I do think it is valuable what you're doing. So I think it's fantastic you do that. I'm glad you've realized you do need to cut it off at some point. And I want to ask, you know, you are a founder six times over, and you really understand the whole startup world. How does your experience there with all of those startups help you with marketing and with helping others with marketing?
Interesting. Yeah. So there's a few different areas to go into. So the first thing is I've always looked at marketing as it's all about systems. There's no like island within marketing where it doesn't touch anything else within the organization or just within the marketing kind of area, the spectrum. So Think of it as like a bunch of interconnected nodes. So when I was trying to get some competencies within marketing, I had to start with an area. And for me, it was content. For other people, maybe it's video, or maybe you just get thrown into the deep end with ads. But that has built up a lot of competencies that then allow me to kind of stretch and move into different areas. One of the presentations I gave, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, it was more for kind of sales enablement folks that were within a super unsexy area, managed service providers. So it's like cloud computing, like super interesting stuff. But you know, it was fascinating to talk with some of these guys during the breaks and kind of figure out what their challenges were. And in the old days, you had kind of like this balance of like half of what generated the revenue was marketing, the other half was sales, or even more. Like sales did like 75% of the work. Nowadays, you can have clients that convert with zero touch, no human interaction whatsoever. And marketing has taken up a much larger portion of the organization in terms of practical value, functionality, the way that they're able to kind of speed things up. I look at marketing as kind of the Swiss Army knife of most organizations. When I step into business development to help those guys out, in many cases, like, wait, you guys aren't automating anything? Like, come here, let me show you something. Or you step into HR and it's like, that's how you're filtering resumes? Like, what are you nuts? Like, it's every single department can benefit by working with somebody, at least somebody that's competent within marketing. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I absolutely believe that. I have always said that if you have strong marketing and sales, it necessitates the other departments to also be strong. Right?
Totally.
You're generating a lot of leads, closing a lot of deals. You're going to have a really strong onboarding and support department to be able to handle that. You're going to have really strong engineering to make sure they continue to grow the product and it gets better and better and evolves with all the new customers and can handle the load of the new customers. And obviously, you're going to have an amazing HR department who can take, like you said, a lot of resumes and be able to bring a lot of new people on board. So great marketing and sales leads to greatness elsewhere in the organization is something that I've always believed. And I totally love that you just brought those examples up.
I like that. I totally agree. Like, yeah, I'm with you 100%. Absolutely.
Awesome. So tell me, we have a lot of SaaS companies, a lot of SaaS leaders who listen to our show. What are most of these SaaS companies missing when it comes to their growth? What are they not doing well?
So like, it's a weird kind of, it's a leftover from like yesteryear kind of thing where everybody still thinks that cold calling is like a real thing. And it's, and yeah, we're going to drum up all these leads. Like I'm going to get a fucking list and I'm just going to cold call everybody until they beg me to stop. And it's like, that hasn't worked in the last decade. Like, I mean, yeah, on occasion it might, But if you look at the amount of time that you end up spending doing that and the resources that go into it, you could probably do a lot better if you compared it with, let's say, cold outreach, or you had something in the way of organic growth or exit intent pop-ups or some type of nurturing funnel. All of these things would probably be much better than just having somebody smiling and dialing all day. I think often there's an afterthought within most SaaS companies in terms of the tech stack that goes into every step of the funnel from the beginning of marketing to the end of marketing, all the way to the handoff of sales, then to the handoff of customer success. People look at that way later and it's like, oh yeah, I guess we should probably fix something and maybe we will one day. And it's like, no, that like that is super important to do first, like super early. And if you don't have these tools set up, man, like you're burning time. And that's the only resource that we really can control. So to me, it's often not setting up the right automation tools, selecting those tools and actually implementing them properly. Most people just, they skip it. I don't get it. Like, and they go back to like the default mode of smiling and dialing and other things that don't scale. So that's my thought.
Yeah, I think it's super interesting. And I always love hearing their perspectives because I've had people on the show that say you have to do cold calling. And so I think a lot of the experience people have had is kind of funny to see. Some see it as great, some don't. It's really interesting for me. But you know, I want to know, because you brought up something very, very, something I love absolutely about how marketing can lead to handing off. But I want to understand, how can marketing actually help support more of the sales pipeline? And I know that's something that you're really strong at. How can marketing help support sales in the sales pipeline?
Well, it's every step of the way. And I'd like to do more things that are scalable. It's the magic word of today, I guess. Like everything that can be automated or I guess replaced with a tool is kind of the direction that I see most things going. So from the basic like idea of where to find leads, I can't tell you how many times I've come into organizations where they have an intern whose job all day is to fucking Google companies. It's like, you don't need to do that. Like there are great tools out there. Like jump into Apollo. It's $49 a month and you can export as many leads as you like, or you can find competitors using BuiltWith and then find the clients that they use and so many different ways on the discovery side. Then if we're actually looking at how you're measuring whether or not they're going to be an ideal client, man, like I got to tell you, so many people don't use lead scoring and it's baffling where it's like, it's just finger in the air. Like most of the time it's like you have data, like it already exists. And if you know that your ideal customer has to be more than 50 employees, throw out every company that's smaller than 50 employees. Like that it's so easy. I just don't understand why people, I think it's a unknown for many people where it's like, you can do that. And it's like, well, yeah, how would you do it otherwise? In many cases, it's just, So like, it's the most frustrating thing in the world. I think my new favorite thing that I've been working on, and I'm actually building a tool for this. I've been building it. It's my own SaaS project. It's 9 months in the making now. It's an intent tool, and there's a few like it on the market, but the whole idea is basically there needs to be three things present in every deal. One is, do they have the need? Like, is this a product or service that somebody needs and wants to buy? Is there money is number two. And the third one is it the right timing? And if you can solve for all of those, then it means there's a pretty good chance that somebody might buy. And one of the easiest ways for those that are doing maybe just independent consulting and they're looking for one-off clients, one of the best ways that I found new clients, and I still find new clients to this day, is going after job boards. That is the highest intent signal that they have a need because they just posted a job, right? Like they need a marketer, they're hiring a marketing manager, there you go. They have resources because they have to pay that person's salary. So holy smokes, I could do a much better job than the new hire that you're going to bring in, I promise. And then number three is it the right timing? Is it potentially the moment when they're considering this and it's a priority? And to me, if they've just posted, yeah, for sure. So I've been scraping job boards and automating the outreach using a blend of hyper-personalization and liquid templates. And yeah, I'm getting all kinds of results. It's crazy. So for anybody that wants to jam out on that, feel free to connect with me, but you could also do this the manual way if you wanted to. which is just going into job boards and they're like, yeah, I could do, that'd be an awesome client. Connect with the people on LinkedIn and say, hey, rather than hiring somebody who sucks, why not work with me? And every once in a while, people are like, okay, sure, let's talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, why would you not want to have an expert instead of somebody who's junior and just coming in? You got to train and bring them up. An expert, they'll be able to jump in and start taking care of business right away. I completely agree with that. I love that. So I want to understand, and I know we're kind of getting close to time here, but what advice do you have for software leaders who are just starting out? They're just getting going on their journey. They're in their early stages of growing their company. What advice around marketing do you have? What should they be doing?
Well, from the standpoint of it being a startup, show traction. When I work with so many of these accelerators, and it's all early stage founders, you know, and it's from the degree of like MVP and maybe a little, you know, a little bit of traction. If you cannot show traction, everything else breaks. Like it's the simplest idea in the world. I've never seen a company disintegrate or close up because they have revenue. You know, like there is no way that a company will stop in its tracks if you keep making money. So the idea is you need to find out what the best channel is that you can actually continue to chase and you can scale up. So if you're marketing across five different channels and you're brand new and you're just trying to get out of the gates, like, holy smokes, man, you're not going to make it. You got to find one that really works well for you. You get the messaging right and you make sure that you're actually getting traction on there to prove that it's working. And then it's rapid experimentation time, which means you're testing and split testing and trying different things in order to get better results. And all of this should be trackable. So yeah, that would be the basic advice.
I love it. I completely agree. I think getting that traction as quickly as possible is huge, not only for your own growth. I mean, obviously, any revenue you bring in is fuel for your company to grow. But also, if you do seek investment, if that's something that you want to do, you've got to be able to have some traction to get the best terms for yourself. So I completely agree on getting that traction early, Taylor. This has been awesome. I've really, you know, enjoyed hearing your take. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. Absolutely. I want to make sure that people can reach you. So how shall our audience reach you best?
Yeah. So I'm the only Taylor Ryan in all of Denmark. So if you look me up on LinkedIn, you'll find me there. You can also go to growthsecrets.org. That's the online masterclass for growth hacking and digital marketing. And if you do need help scaling up your startup or your medium size or even large organization, totally down to jam out. And the website is Clint, K-L-I-N-T, marketing.com.
Beautiful. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you coming, Taylor.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I miss doing this stuff. This is great. So yeah, thanks again. This was fun. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, it's super fun for me as well. Really enjoyed it. Likewise, I hope that things aren't too late for you. I guess it's not too bad for you over there in Denmark. But other than that, let's keep in touch. And everybody else, thank you so much for coming. Super, super glad to have you here. Make sure you are subscribed to the show. You do not want to miss out on more amazing tidbits and nuggets like what Taylor just shared. Hit that subscribe button right now. And if you have any comments or feedback, let me know. Want to make sure that we get you the best creators and innovators that you can possibly get to. Thanks for coming. And we'll see you next time. Take care.